streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President-elect Donald Trump makes his pick for Secretary of Defense, saying Fox News host and combat veteran Pete Hegseth has spent his entire life as a warrior for the troops and for the country. Earlier, Trump chose John Ratcliffe to lead the CIA. CBS's Weijia Zhang also reports.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is considered a hardliner on immigration.
Make no mistake, an invasion of our country is happening.
And if confirmed as DHS Secretary, she would be at the forefront of the plan to deport millions of undocumented immigrants, along with border czar Tom Homan and the architect of the plan, Stephen Miller. With more than 260,000 employees, DHS includes ICE and the Office of Customs and Border Protection. But Noem would also oversee the Secret Service and FEMA, among other departments.
Trump has also announced that billionaire Elon Musk and businessman Vivek Ramaswamy will head up a new temporary agency called the Department of Government Efficiency. He says they'll pave the way for his administration to dismantle government bureaucracy. Prosecutors say the Pentagon leaker put our national security at risk.
22-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira apologized in court for his actions before being sentenced to 15 years in prison. He pleaded guilty to leaking online highly classified U.S. military information about the war in Ukraine. Jody Cohen is an FBI special agent in Boston.
His actions compromised military plans, sources, and methods, and allowed our most significant adversaries access to some of our most closely guarded intelligence.
The case was called one of the most prolific government leak operations ever. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
At least 11 people are injured, too critically, in an explosion at a factory in Louisville, Kentucky that makes ingredients for soft drinks. Jody Myman is executive director of Louisville Metro Emergency Services.
The reason that the residents were evacuated very close is because they actually couldn't do a shelter in place because many of their windows were blown out. So the highest amount of precaution was taken.
A law requiring Louisiana public schools to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom is blocked. Loyola Law School Professor Lori Levinson.
The judge found that, in fact, such a law violated the First Amendment because it was coercive to students. And for any practical purpose, they wouldn't have a way to opt out from seeing the Ten Commandments.
Louisiana's Republican Attorney General promises an appeal. British writer Samantha Harvey wins the Booker Prize for Fiction with Orbital, a short novel set aboard the International Space Station. Harvey receives a $64,000 prize for the piece, which she began writing during the COVID lockdowns. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Badgers have another night game. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Coach Luke Fickell says the bye week helped them in preparing for the big game.
We know that, but that's where we've got to make sure that we got to go back to what it is that we do and continue to climb this mountain to get better.
Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beyonce might have been disappointed with her response from the Country Music Awards, but when it comes to Grammy nominations, she's at the top. Variety reports that Beyonce has been nominated for 11 Grammys, including Artist, Song, and Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter. Not far behind are some other heavy hitters, including, you guessed it, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, Billie Eilish, and new kid on the block, Chappell Roan. Roan and Carpenter also up for Best New Artist of the Year. Looks like I got shut out again. Taylor Sheridan apparently decided he does not have enough shows on TV, so he is teaming up with Blake Shelton for a new music reality show. The Road will follow a big-time music star around the country in search of the next big musical talent. Deadline reports competing artists will have the opportunity to open for an A-lister in various towns to win over crowds. The music superstar who will lead the search has not yet been revealed. The Road will launch in the fall of 2025 on CBS. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight, a low in the low 30s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, showers possible late, highs in the upper 40s. Areas of rain tomorrow night, lingering into early Thursday, then maybe some clearing late Thursday afternoon and a high in the upper 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to Angela Lang from Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot in hour number two. I hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a reset. I took Friday and Monday off. Needed to breathe. Resetting with each and every one of you right now because Civic Media is all about real news and great conversation. And that means not just national news. Here's the other thing that's been really bugging me is that for over a decade, perhaps since the first Kennedy-Nixon debate on TV, all of a sudden, it's been the national politics that have overwhelmed the American consciousness to the extent that everyday people actually plug into politics. And one of the things that really has concerned me over this period of time is that, yes, it is important who is president of the United States because things like the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the stripping away of rights occurs. I am scared as all get out with what is about to happen to our water, land, and air regulations and our food chain regulations. You know, I've said often regulations are for regular people because they help protect us from, frankly, bad corporate behavior and not caring about our health and wellness. Do I think there are too many regulations and too many regulatory agencies that regulate the same thing and it's overlapping and it's complicated? And why do I have to get permits from 17? Yes, let's do better. But do I believe that like regular people should still, the government should still ensure that we regular people have clean air, clean water, clean land, that our food supply is safe, and that small businesses can compete on an equal footing, right? That there's actual competition in this so-called capitalist democracy. Heck yeah! All that's really important. I'm afraid about all that that's going to go on. I'm afraid of all the nut jobs and the far right, not legal scholars, but just ideologues that Donald Trump's going to put on the federal courts. But here's what, and I said this last week too. Get involved and know what's going on in local and state politics. But if you want to talk about like the thing that immediately impacts your life on a day-over-day basis, that is in local and state politics, y'all. You want to join the conversation this half hour, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is a bit of my reintroduction to you about like, where do I think the next battles are? What am I looking at? How am I grounding myself? How are we going to do this work together? Not liberals and conservatives, because that stuff has no meaning anymore. How are we going to do this together? What's important to you? What's important to me? Let's discuss. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dan from Green Bay, thank you for your patience, sir. What say you?
Hey, your guest actually probably stole some of my thunder in terms of when I called in, she hadn't addressed what I was going to say, which is what I think really killed Kamala Harris was the messaging not working at all. It was hard to tell what her message was. And then on top of that, the Republicans were able to take advantage of the fact that she was contradicting things she had said in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. For instance, fracking in Pennsylvania. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's really what destroyed her in this election. And quite honestly, I think if a lot of Democrats were, and like Republicans do, were incredibly loyal to the party, she would have lost by a lot more, actually. Mm. I'm a Republican, okay? But I could not make heads or tails of where she was going. And then there was the word salad problem. And, I mean, even David Axelrod, you know, one of Clinton's top advisors forever, called her the queen of word salad. It didn't seem like she ever would directly answer questions.
Yeah. Let's just be sure we give some fair treatment to both sides. Now, I agree with you. Democratic messaging was a fail. But I think if we just talk about it as word salad, like Donald, he came up with a name for it. He'd be like, it's the weave. I mean, she's the queen of word salad. I'll take that point. But I'll say he's the king of word salad. They both word salad the heck out of it. The point was, what did the word salad make people feel? Do you agree, Dan? Like, I think Trump was really good at scapegoating some people and saying these are the people that are the problem, when the problem is actually system, and that people accurately perceive that the system isn't serving their interests. What do you think, Dan?
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you mean by the system is the problem?
Well, the fact that we have greater wealth inequality than we did back when there were robber barons and steel magnates, that like the middle class isn't gaining in wealth, right? Like, that's a fact, right? Over the last 50 years, the middle class is smaller and it has less economic power than it did 50 years ago. And I think people correctly are perceiving that. And they're like, hey, what, you tell me the economy's great. Why am I not feeling that? That's what I mean.
Well, and that's another issue that hurt her, because, you know, as I believe your guest said, is that, you know, inflation blew up. And yes, it started to come down.
What's the inflation rate right now?
I believe 2.1%.
Dan, what's the target inflation rate year over year that the Fed tries to hit?
I think about 2.8, if I remember. But
it sort of varies between two. But like, okay. But isn't that the point? That the very economic indicator is where it should be, but people aren't feeling that. Like, if that ain't an example of the system not working for the middle class and working people to make them feel like they are being treated fairly and are getting ahead, is that not an exact example of the very problem I'm describing?
Well, maybe, except for one thing. The inflation rate does not include the price of gas and the price of groceries.
So there's two different inflation rates.
That is part of your cost of living.
So, Dan, there's two different inflation rates. There's core and non-core. You can include gas and groceries in a different inflation rate. I don't care which way you measure it, Dan. Inflation's down. My point still stands, my brother. And that is, wherever the inflation rate is right now, it ain't where it was in June of 2021, okay? Which was, let's do the math here together. Biden, let's do the math together, brother. Like, let's do it. Biden was inaugurated in January. Hang on, man. Hang on. Biden was inaugurated in January, February, March, April, May, June. It was 6 months later that inflation peaked at somewhere north of 8%, right? And it has gone steadily down since then. So over the entire, I mean, just facts, right? But the whole point, like, it sounds like you and I might actually be saying the same thing. The inflation rate fact went down over the entire time of Joe Biden's presidency, no matter how measured, okay? Even when you include grocery and gas. I mean, for crying out loud, Dan, gas is at like $2.67 right now. That's the lowest it's been since Donald Trump was president, for crying out loud. So it wasn't about the economic facts. It's about the fact that people don't feel like they're doing better than their parents, isn't it?
It is, but also at the same time, you know, look what had to happen during that period, okay? I mean, for instance, credit cards.
But I mean, we can get into each and every issue. I'm trying to keep it up a couple of levels, Dan. So I'm going to say thank you. I really appreciate you calling and having this discussion with me, brother, because this is what matters to me. If people don't feel like the system, the economy is working for them, and one party's yakking at them like, we nailed the economy. Economy is great. Economists say it's great. But people still feel like they're getting screwed. They're going to vote that feeling. That's what happened. Plus, Donald Trump said, blame these brown people. And Americans are programmed to believe it when someone tells them to blame brown folks. Like, period. Full stop. He also labeled, like, a whole bunch of people that it's really easy to, like, point out and otherize and label them. And frankly, I'm scared for every single one of my trans friends. Scared for every member of the LGBTQIA community. Because guess what? Like, ostracizing and going after the trans community ain't going to put cheap eggs in your pantry. You know what I'm saying, folks? That ain't the point. That's smokescreen. That's distraction. Chad from Greenfield, what's up, friend? What do you have to say?
Well, you know, Maggie, I've been listening since the beginning, and all you've done is spread lies, information, manipulations about President Trump.
Okay, tell me what I'm lying about. Tell me what I'm lying about, Chad.
I'll be happy to answer that point. First of all, you lied about Project 2025.
What did I lie about Project 2025? What did I lie about? I want a specific.
And even fact checkers say that President Trump has nothing to do with Project 2025.
Chad, well, I guess we'll find out, brother, won't we? I mean, a person doesn't have to author a document, right? When the authors of the document, 3/4 of them came from the Trump administration. So, like, I really could not give a toot about whether Project 2025 was Donald Trump's blueprint. I care very much whether or not it gets implemented.
Well, so, you guys spread it like it is. The whole point is he crushed you, and then you get on the air the day after the election and you cry. You know what? You got what you deserve.
Because— oh, thanks, Chad. Hey, that makes democracy better. Goodbye. I mean, geez, Louise. Susan, on the road, what do you have to say?
Oh, but Maggie, to be honest with you. I was just wanting to mention that most people who voted, I don't want to belabor how the vote came down, but clearly everyone had their own interests at heart. It wasn't like they were looking out for the person that was below them on the pecking order and how they could lift them up. It was more about how can it make my world better? And if we vote that way all the time, we no longer are a community. We are just individuals packed into this country.
Well, I think, Susan, you just put your finger on something really critical. I've talked about, and certainly I did in between my crying that Chad very much enjoyed on Wednesday, was the idea of false scarcity and dog-eat-dog-ism. Donald Trump lives and dies by that credo. That ain't an American value. We're going to pick right up there. The idea of false scarcity and turning us against each other. No, thank you. My name's Maggie Dawn. Join this conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. And just a little point of fact for my friend Chad. Two of Project 2025's main contributors have already been named to Trump's administration. But sure, he's got nothing to do with it. I care very much whether Project 2025 becomes the law of the land, because I'd prefer if my menstrual cycles weren't being tracked by the federal government, yo! Thank you, Chris from Madison. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. You too, Chad.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I think that's Chad's problem. We've got a problem. You don't love me anymore. Chad, what's up with that? Let's just have, you know, some meaningful political disagreements and quit looking in the rear view. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Give us a buzz. We're talking about the reset, the moving forward, trying to do so with the core of what truly concerned voters, which I will never disrespect. Like, there's some things that need to be challenged and talked about, and that is, you know, the political weaponization of racism in this country. It is a tale as old as time, right, of misogynoir, of sexism. But the thing that's coming across so clearly to me, like in large blinking letters, is people don't think this system is working for them. They don't feel like they are financially being treated fairly. And by being treated fairly, what do I mean? Nobody likes the fact that billionaires pay less tax than regular people do. Like, that's stupid. We haven't raised the minimum wage since 2009. The minimum wage equates to $15,000 a year. That's stupid. Like, if we're all about bootstraps and hard work, and we say to people that the social contract is if you're willing to work hard, you should be able to live in some baseline dignity. You shouldn't have to worry about housing and food and medical care. Well, we can make that true. We can just make it so. We care about free markets and active competition, and yet in almost every industry, we're seeing monopolization and consolidation, which enables price gouging and price fixing and all sorts of anti-competitive behaviors. We've got an information ecosystem that allows garbage to get algorithmically promoted because garbage is interesting. I mean, for real, garbage is interesting. It just is. But here, again, I want to sort of reintroduce myself to you. And I'm not going to apologize. Maybe, you know, I was talking about my old segment, Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. I think I don't apologize for that content. We are right freaking on. Right information. Bad message, bad messenger. Truth. Right? My new measure of is a democracy succeeding is this. Are we treating the middle class and working people fairly by every meaningful metric? Are life expectancies for regular people going up or down? Is literacy going up or down? Do the things that we all universally, at least nearly universally, agree on, are we seeing those things come into legislation? enacted into law. And if they're not, and we see institutions not acting in the best interest as measured by pick your metric, then that's not a successful and healthy democracy. I see us an extreme Supreme Court. Not healthy for democracy. Weakening confidence in institutions. Not healthy for democracy. But the reason that faith in those institutions is low is because I believe people accurately are perceiving that the institutions aren't putting forward their best interests. And I truly do not believe that that is partisan. The political elites have taught us that it's partisan. It's not. A working family farmer in Rhinelander has more in common with a young black guy working at McDonald's than he does with Elon Musk or Donald Trump, for sure. 1,000%. That working farmer who's worried about whether or not he's going to be able to keep his farm and make the payments that he needs to and buy the new equipment, he's got more in common with a young woman who has an unwanted pregnancy than he does with Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Gentleman or lady from the 414 saying, I'm middle class. I'm doing just fine. I don't need no government handout. Well, then neither does Elon Musk, my brother or sister. So why are we giving Elon Musk a government handout? Why does he pay a lower effective tax rate than you do? You might be doing fine, but do you want to do better? I mean, basic. I refuse to be victimized. Do you? I refuse to be suckered. I refuse to be the mark in the long con. I'm going to put it in this terms. This is not about liberal and conservative. This is about the longest con that has ever existed, and that is to shoplift out of your family's mouth and your pocketbook to put it in the pockets of the richest of the rich, Jeff Bezos included. I don't care if a billionaire says they're a Republican or a Democrat. I'm going to go, I don't trust you. Because I don't think anybody gets to be a billionaire without some probably pretty exploitative and shady behavior. Mike from Colorado, what's up? You're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, friend?
Yeah, thank you, Maggie. I'm actually a first-time caller. Thank you so much. I'm watching you on YouTube. So, yeah, I just had a couple of quick points. You know, first of all, I wanted to mention this because I've heard it talked about a couple times, most notably, I think, on Rachel Maddow's show. But John Roberts, I think his role in all of this is kind of going under realized. First of all, you know, he gave Trump the blanket immunity as far as, you know, what constitutes official acts as president. Second of all, he allowed him to go back on the ballot in, I believe, multiple states. I know in Colorado specifically also. So I think that another kind of interesting tie in with that is he's shifted from being more of a moderate justice to a conservative, conservative justice in the past years. And essentially, you know, what I have seen him do is he bet on Trump to win. He bet on Trump. He thought he was going to win. And now he's that conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court. So he's going to have more pull and power because he essentially gave Trump the ability, more ability to be president. That's the first point. The second point I was going to make real quick, and then I'll hop off here. The Democrats not disputing what the Republicans were pushing. When the Republicans were talking about, well, the trans agenda, right? Oh, your kids are going to go to school and they're going to come home.
Yeah, they needed to. Sorry, Mike, we're running out of time here, my friend. They needed to punch back hard on that because that's all garbage. I mean, literally, it's all garbage. It's lies. Like, there's not a lunch line or a line outside the nurse's office for gender reassignment surgeries. I mean, get real. We got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Lyerly is next.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump chooses Fox News host and combat vet Pete Hegseth for defense secretary and John Ratcliffe to lead the CIA. CBS's Finn Gomez says of Ratcliffe.
He is the former head of DNI, of National Intelligence, which is like a top advisor to the president under the first iteration of the Trump administration.
22-year-old former Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira is sentenced to 15 years in prison for leaking classified Pentagon documents. U.S. Attorney Joshua Levy.
Anyone who willfully threatens our national security by illegally disseminating classified information will face very serious repercussions.
At least 11 employees are injured and residents are urged to shelter in place after a factory explosion in Louisville, Kentucky. CBS's Dave Malcolm.
The fire department flew a drone to monitor air quality and report there was nothing dangerous to breathe. The cause of the explosion is still under investigation.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers have another night game. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Coach Luke Fickell says the bye week helped them in preparing for the big game.
We know that, but that's where we've got to make sure that we got to go back to what it is that we do and continue to climb this mountain to get better.
Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothy Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times pretty funny, has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, gusty southeast winds, lower 30s at sunrise. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies stay with us along with that breeze. Could have a late day shower, otherwise highs in the upper 40s. More likely time for rain will be Wednesday night. Currently 35 degrees.
To everyone who is a cheese lover like us, Culver's is the place for you.
I'm Culver's team member Sephora, and I get to celebrate my love of cheese with our guests every day. Whether it's our world-class cheddar, Swiss, or American melted on a butter burger, or the gooey golden goodness of our cheese curds, at Culver's, we treat you to the best real Wisconsin cheese. Order ahead on the app or Culver's.com for a taste of what we do best.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know that my super hydrated skin is the second largest organ of my body? The first is my heart. Old Spice. Men have skin too. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. 24/7 renewing moisture. With daily use.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bob's Burgers writer John Schrader, an actor and creator of the first annual Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, Ezekiel Drews. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. The place for robust discussion here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am really happy to bring back to the show one of my absolute favorite people to say thank you and do a wellness check, though she does not need one. It is the ever fabulous Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, if you are on the line, stay there. I will get to you maybe in this segment, but certainly before the end of the hour. Kristen, how you doing?
I'm well, actually. So Wednesday morning, super early Wednesday morning, like 2 o'clock Wednesday morning, I was sad and I had some hard conversations with some friends. But later in the day, I felt better. And by Thursday, I was like, all right, sisters, let's go. And since then, it's been lots of wellness checks for our friends. And we know things are going to be rocky for a while. But the way we fix by coming together and building, and that's what's happening already.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it was my Thursday show. I went back to my old show name, which was The Dawn of the Resistance. You see what I did there? Little pun intended for everybody. I needed to take like a gut check, some time away. And I looked at what we were talking about and why it deeply matters to me, like why I got into the business in the first place. Both of public service and doing radio, which I view as a type of public service. And I said to folks on the air, these are the right things to care about. And I think we were right on the vast majority of issues. Perhaps there was, you know, this thing going on where the sitting president had an abysmally low approval rating and was untrusted. Perhaps there was a thing going on where you had one of the most unbelievably, incomprehensibly effective communicators. I mean, like, Donald Trump is an effective communicator. I have no idea why or how, but he is, because I think he gets people to feel stuff. There was this perfect storm of things happening, including, you know, the PTSD of COVID and the social isolationism. I think that turning inward, lots of stuff happening, but figuring out how to make sure that people can better see, and we can actually have discussions about, is the democracy working well? Is it working well for you? Why do you think it's not? Are institutions actually making sure that what's important to you and your family is happening, and deeply caring about that? Like, that got missed. And I think there's a correction for that, right? There's a new information environment. There's a correction for that. And so I think, again, being humble about what was completely screwed up, but not being afraid to continue to have the discussions that matter about the stuff that matters to the vast majority of us.
Well, let's be honest. We can't do anything about all of that stuff that's happening on that level. It makes us feel stressed. Like, I still, when I'm watching, I'm living in a hotel right now. I'm up in northern Minnesota, back at work. And when I have the TV on and Donald Trump comes on, I don't want to see it. I turn it off. I am not emotionally ready for that. But what I can do is have a conversation with the people in my community and start talking about who's going to run for school board. How can we support our candidate for the Supreme Court race in the spring? How can I dive back into the nonprofit in my community that is really focused on wellness and community building? There are so many things that we can do on a level where it really makes a difference in our own lives, and we have control over that. So this is my doctor talk and my post-candidate talk.
I love it.
That's what we can do to keep ourselves healthy and to keep ourselves connected and engaged. We really had been missing that in the post-COVID period. COVID isolated us and it scared us and it drove us apart. Now we have to bring it back together. It's going to take effort and it's going to take vulnerability, like making ourselves available to each other. But that's what we have to do if we are going to build this community that we all want to see.
Well, and listen, I get this very interesting non-scientific immediate feedback from callers, including, you know, conservatives. And the three things that I began the show with today, Kristen, were really the reasons that I got into law and economics and public service and eventually why I ended up on the radio. I'm endlessly curious. And to maintain curiosity, I have to be humble enough to want to listen to what people are saying, even when I disagree. And yes. On my better days, I can achieve that, right? And then lastly, I want to hear from a lot of different people and people that are different from me. Because if I just listen to people who are like me, that's not very helpful. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. So you don't learn anything.
Absolutely right. What I'm trying to fight against is certainty, right? And frankly, arrogance about certainty. Like if you're certain, you're arrogant. And if you're certain and arrogant, your mind is certainly closed and the worldview becomes limited. And if, you know, again, I think from a value perspective, if we can come at it from a place of curiosity, and I do want to hear from people that disagree, and there's never one right answer to complicated questions, we can start to do a little better by each other, right? Because I truly feel that some of our worst instincts were preyed upon by Donald Trump. It was, you know, the correct people rightly, again, have anxiety about, is my family going to be better off? You know, are my kids going to be better off than I am? Answer, no, that's what I feel. And then he channeled that feeling and gave an easy culprit, right? Mm-hmm. And that had some electoral impacts, right? I mean, fundamentally.
It makes me so frustrated too, because he is such a genius at selling people something.
Yes.
And getting people to buy onto what he is selling. But it's a bait and switch, because what they're going to end up with is something that's worse for them.
Yes.
And that is the thing that pulled me into public service. You know, I've been a physician for a long time, but it was taking that leap was when Ron Johnson was telling people ivermectin was better than the practice of social distancing and all of the prevention stuff that we knew would actually protect people. When me and my colleagues were seeing people come to the hospital sick because they had been getting their medical advice from politicians instead of healthcare professionals. And then they suddenly saw it and they regretted it. And for so many people, it cost them their lives. For me, I just can't handle that. I can't stand it. And I'm seeing it already. You know, I've been back in clinic a couple of days now already. And the stories that I'm hearing from people, and I have to listen. That's my whole job, is to sit there and listen and keep my mouth shut and try to help people. And I don't share my politics with them. My job is just to help them and to meet them where they're at. And believe me, in a gynecology office, people are vulnerable. They're telling lots of stories. But the opportunity to be able to meet them where they are and help them get to that next best place is such a beautiful thing. And to do that on a one-on-one basis, that's what I do in the office every day. But to be able to do it on a totally bigger level, which is what you do every day, Maggie, when you're having these conversations with folks, this is such an incredible opportunity for us now and moving forward. This is one of those bright lights in the darkness.
Thank you for that. I certainly try with, you know, mixed success on a day-over-day basis. It's better, again, when we do this together, when we can have these kinds of conversations. I've been thinking a lot about how am I going to evaluate the health of our democracy and not in academic terms. And some of that is, can we actually move forward? There's going to be a lot of changes. I'm not going to like a lot of them. I'll talk about them on the radio. But I believe at the end of the day, the middle class and working people in this country have the same set of concerns. And trying to get past this us and them stupid polemic. The us and them here is like working people and people with hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. Like that's the us and them, and making sure that institutions are actually working for working people and care about that, and that people are doing better than their parents did will help address the ease with which Donald Trump was able to separate us by our identities. Because when people write in and they're like, Maggie, stop talking about identity politics. Well, people have identities. We can talk about race and gender, sexual preference and orientation. But if our discussions of those things make us miss the biggest points, the biggest issues that matter, no matter what your identity is, then that's the miss, right? I think Trump was very effective at saying Democrats only care about wokeism and they don't care if you're doing okay.
Yeah, agree. And you know, one of the biggest issues that I don't know what happened to it, because to me, it is so fundamental. It is so fundamental to everything that we do. And it is so critical to our future. When did we stop talking about climate? When did we stop caring about our environment? It didn't even come up really when I was on the campaign trail. And now when I'm looking at the future of the EPA and I'm thinking about Wisconsin, the state that I love so much, the home of Earth Day and Gaylord Nelson, right, and all of the natural resources that we have that we depend on, the clean air and clean water, what is going to happen to these things? We're not even having these conversations right now.
Yeah, that is something that, you know, the climate and what's happening to our natural resources is going to continue to rear its head in both small and major ways. Like, let's be clear, there is $120 million worth of PFAS remediation money that hasn't come out of the state's Joint Finance Committee. So to circle back where we began, I've been telling people, like, hey, you feel disenchanted with the national political dialogue. I get that. And things are going to be a little weird for a while. But here's what you can do. And that is engage at a hyper local and state level. Do we all know all the members of the Joint Finance Committee? I don't off the top of my head. And I do this every day. But like, maybe that's where I start my show tomorrow, Kristen. Like, here are the members of the Joint Finance Committee. Let's all decide that whether we're Republican or Democrat or whatever the heck the labels mean these days, because I don't really know. We're going to decide we're going to call each member of the Joint Finance Committee once a week until PFAS remediation dollars actually start moving. Like, that's a specific thing, right? And it affects farmers. It affects family farmers. It affects your water. It affects the water tables in Waukesha to Wausau, right? Like, this is everywhere, and it's an everybody kind of issue. And view it less as these, like, monolithic sort of the Green New Deal or we don't do anything on climate. Like, that's not the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always something in between. And, you know, to your point about representation, we all have representatives. And a lot of our representatives aren't doing anything, yet they keep getting elected. I mean, here's a great example. Dave Murphy up in Assembly District 56. This is a guy who wouldn't show up to even have a conversation with his opponent, Emily Cephos. Not even a debate, but just like sit in a chair and answer people's questions. He's not even present. So we need to hold our representatives accountable for the decisions that they're making or not making on our behalf, because we are electing them to represent us in places where it is absolutely critical for us now and for generations to come.
That is Dr. Kristen Lierley, OBGYN extraordinaire, who ran an absolutely fantastic and I think watershed important campaign in the 8th Congressional District. It sets the table for having these kinds of discussions, for making these congressional districts more competitive every cycle, and figuring out how to help people connect the dots between all of the noise and, frankly, punditry. I'm probably one of those. And what's actually impacting the quality of their families' lives. Like, that is where we all need to be focusing our attention. And frankly, if I'm being real honest here, I've had just about enough from, like, the far, far, far left, too. Like, that is not helpful. We need to understand the art of the possible and demand that the possible serve the greatest majority of us working folks. Dr. Lierley, thank you so much for making time today. I hope to see you frequently back on the show to continue to have these discussions and to check in on you. Maybe we'll figure out some sort of, like, anything but politics topic to talk about and riff on that. Perhaps Dr. Kristen Lierley, master gardener.
Oh, yes.
I love
that. Let's do that.
Yes. Next time, we're just talking gardening. I love it. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You'll have my final thoughts of the day when we come back right here on the Civic Media Network. Keep it locked. Your texts and calls still and always welcome. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years.
Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of.
It really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little.
That's arbitrary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh yeah, 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Jump in the shower and working 9 to 5. If you're willing to do it, I believe you should be able to pay for the basic necessities of life. Call me a raging liberal or whatever you would like, but I think that's the basic social contract. Is it not, my friends? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we begin the beginning, my friends. Exactly where we started is where we will end today. And that is, where in the world is Eric Hovde? Well, 15 minutes ago, he just dropped a video refusing to concede. Is anyone surprised here? And making all sorts of absolutely false, completely bogus allegations about elections in Milwaukee. I'm just going to say this. I've played a lot of sports. I've tried cases. I've been in a lot of courtrooms. I've argued hundreds of motions. I've been in political theater, if you will. I've made arguments in committee hearings. I have been talking and competing, if you will, for the greater majority of my life. Basically, as soon as I could walk, I wanted to play a sport. And I will just say this. The whiniest losers on the planet were always the rich kids. Always. Because little Johnny couldn't be told that he was actually no good at t-ball. Eric Hovde is a whiny little rich guy loser. Right? I mean,
how could I possibly lose?
Well, you did. And here's why you did. Tammy Baldwin's a regular person from Wisconsin, and no one here doubts her Wisconsin bona fides. That's why. Because you're a carpetbagger, 100 millionaire with a net worth somewhere north of 150 million and south of 500 million. That's a crap load of money. You might act like you care about the price of milk. You don't. That's why. Just my opinion. Anyways, I'm not even going to play the Hovde statement because I do not want to give air to inflammatory nonsense. No, thank you. And I really want to say thanks to every single one of my texters and callers. Y'all, if you have been doing this with me for a while, you know I try to respond to everybody. I try to have a conversation. We have a little fun, few yucks, and maybe some meaningful exchanges. And as a reminder, I'm going to try to do this more frequently on the air. Here are my three rules for callers, because I tend to cut people off. Some hosts don't. And I've gotten some heat for that. But there is a method to my madness. Here are the rules if you are a caller. Do not deflect from the issue. Do not disinform. If I know something to not be true, a hyperbolic exaggeration thus that is of a scale that could be misinterpreted, misunderstood, I will cut you off. And the last thing is, don't discriminate. Don't talk about groups and label them based on group identity. That will not be tolerated, okay? So just, it's the three D's of debate on the Maggie Dawn Show. Y'all ready? Write them down. Don't deflect. Don't disinform. And do not discriminate. And with that, we're going to take our last caller of the day. My good friend, Gary. Gary, it's love to see you. Lovely to see you on the caller list. How you doing? What do you want to say this afternoon?
Maggie, I'm glad you decided to take my call. I could hear you talking to a call screener. Oh, it's Gary. Well, I'm going to take my... Well, maybe you're not, but I'm glad you decided to.
That's...
So I was
listen,
eavesdropping on you. Sorry.
I don't smack talk my callers... Most of the okay, no, CJ, always, CJ, I smack nice talk a little bit, but like CJ and I have those tete-a-tetes face to face as well. Gary, my friend, what would you like to say? I'm just glad we had time.
I'd like to tell you that, you know, I reflect back on this election, and I'm not gloating at all. I'm just going to tell you what I see.
Sure.
And what I see is when somebody is calling my guy, the guy that I'm voting for, the guy that I trust that's going to do a good job as President of the United States. They call him Hitler, a Nazi, and then they go to, and then they everybody goes to New York to Madison Square Garden, and they refer to that as a Nazi party, like in 1938, and all that sort of stuff. That when you call Trump a Nazi, that's calling me, my wife, my kids, and everything a Nazi. And I think that that's why I got so pissed that I went out there and was, you know, canvassing for him. Way more than I normally would.
Can I just ask? I just want to hop in and ask you this question. Setting aside the Nazi label, do you agree that Donald Trump frequently says pretty racist and offensive things?
I think that he says stupid stuff, and I know he is taken out of context. A lot of this stuff, like okay. the burning a bloodbath. That was so.
Okay, fake. Forget bloodbath. I want to talk, calling people animal. We're going to run out of time. Gary, will you call me back tomorrow? Promise me, Gary, you will call me back tomorrow, and we will continue this most fabulous discussion, because I think the name calling is a problem. It is a deep problem, but so is name calling, if you will. You get my drift? Like, you can't call people animals and then be like, don't call me a racist, when you've defined animals on the basis of their race, gender, sexual orientation, preference, or the fact that they have an immigration status that is in question. That does not an animal define. That is racism to me. We will discuss more with Gary tomorrow. I've got to leave it here. There might be a little overtime with Dom Salvia. Not sure. Maybe you'll get a little extra Maggie, Gary. And as ever and always, I appreciate every single one of you, including my conservative friends, or whatever we call it ourselves now, progressives, wrong, right, who knows, left, right, center, the labels don't matter. I'm Maggie Dawn. You have been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where every day we try to talk about real news and have great conversation. And I'll leave you as we always have. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is better, maybe even best, when we stand together. Tax billionaires more.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Our very own Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with a look back on the election that was. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.